20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Welcome in to the Wednesday edition of Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, not Steve Perhatch, Dusty Evely, joined here tonight by the lovely Steve Perhatch and Sarah Kelleher. Steve, how are you doing, brother?
Man, it's been a day, but I do appreciate the fact that you called me lovely. I don't think that I think that could be the first time that's ever happened to me. So much appreciated. I'm excited to talk some Packers stuff. Long work day for me today, so it's gonna be a good time. I'm excited.
Yeah, it's gonna be fun. Sarah, how are you?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm pretty much on the same page as Steve. I had a long day, so it's always nice to, you know, end a busy day and, you know, get together with you guys and talk Packers. So really looking forward to this, and I know it's going to be a great time.
Yeah, I'm excited about it. We don't have a, you know, not a ton going on, but we do have some fun things to talk about today, I guess. So we'll kick this off with, I think this was a couple days ago. This was announced, actually. We'll bring it up here. So Kenny Mayne leaving ESPN, his last show is going to be this Monday. He's got a slate of guests. He's got four guests that he wrote a piece on, like, LA Times or something, and he talked about just his departure. It sounds like he just kind of called up some people. Hey, would you like to be on my show? And some of them said yes. So he's got a guest list of four people. Sue Bird, Jamal Crawford, Marshawn Lynch, and someone named Aaron Rodgers. I don't think there's anything going on with him right now, so I don't know what he's going to talk about. So this is kind of one of those, like, I don't know, I guess I'll ask you guys. Do you see this as just like he's sitting down as a goodbye to Kenny Mayne, or is this potentially like the Aaron Rodgers interview that he's going to actually talk and say things of meaning about his current predicament? Steve, what are your feelings on that?
I would love it if Kenny Mayne didn't say a word and Marshawn Lynch interviewed Aaron Rodgers. I think that would be just outstanding. That would be way better. But I don't think that's actually going to happen. I mean, honestly, I think that Aaron Rodgers does things that are calculated, and he knows exactly what he's doing. So if he has a message to get out, it will get out. I fully believe that. I don't think anything is going to happen. I think knowing that it's Kenny Mayne's last show, and it's obviously his last show. So I don't think he wants to detract from that. I don't think he wants to blow things out of the water. Like, you know, I'm unhappy with the Packers, I want to be traded. Like, I don't expect that to come from him. I think he's just going to have some fun. Like, you know, it's Kenny Mayne. Like, it's not like it's going to be like, Walter Cronkite or something like that, where I have, or, you know, earth shattering news coming out. I think it's going to be fun. I think it's going to be stupid stuff. I think Kenny Mayne will ask one or two questions about the Packers and the situation, and Aaron Rodgers will tap dance around it and not give us anything. And I think it will provide Twitter and the blogosphere, content for the next 4.5 weeks. So it's pretty much exactly what I expect to happen, and I'm excited to see it. So it's gonna be a lot of fun.
Sarah, what do you think?
I'm not sure if I even think, or if I just feel so strongly that I'm like, this is what's going to happen. But we are going to listen to that interview and leave with more questions than we have answers. Like, we're not going to, in my opinion, we're not going to learn, you know, anything new. We're just going to be like, what the hell is going on? Times 10 from what it's already been. And like you said, Steve, Aaron Rodgers is very methodical about everything that he does. So this is not just something where he's like, oh, I'm just going to hop on here. Like, everything that he says will be thought out, you know, beforehand. He's going to be prepared. So I don't think, you know, people are expecting juicy details and all this. I don't think we're going to get that. So we're probably going to be super confused after and just, you know, be in limbo like we are right now. So I don't know. I'm looking forward to it just to kind of see what happens, but I'm not really expecting anything.
I am very excited for Kenny Mayne to have some kind of dry comment about the situation, and Rodgers to have just a tiny smile, and that smile gets analyzed to death. That I'm very much looking forward to that. Very, very excited.
I feel like he's gonna, similar to during the season when he has the Gatorade on the sideline that's like different colors against different teams, like, I feel like he could be drinking something and then everyone will be like, oh, it's orange, so he's going to the Broncos, like, confirmed. But if it's green, then he could be staying in Green Bay. Like, I don't know, there'll be something like that.
That's It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. And then we're all going to be tired of it very quickly. All right. So kind of moving on to the main topic today. So we OTAs are coming up next week, and the Packers have a full 90-man roster, full 90-man. So what we want to do today is just go through some of the position groupings and talk through, you know, some of the guys on there. What do we think in terms of, like, top-end talent, depth? We're not doing, like, a 53-man prediction, but just kind of a how are these groups shaking up? What are you excited about in these groups? So that's what we're going to do today. And then take some questions at the end. So we're going to start, we're going to breeze through some of these. We're going to start with quarterback. We're going to start with quarterback. There are currently four quarterbacks on the roster. Four quarterbacks. Now, I don't think we need to spend a lot of time here. There's a lot of intrigue, and we just don't know about it. But those four names are Aaron Rodgers, Jordan Love, the immortal Blake Bortles, and Kurt Benkert. Those are our four quarterbacks. Sarah, what are your thoughts on the quarterback situation right now? Besides the, we don't know what the quarterback situation is right now.
Yeah, I mean, like, if you just gave me those four names and, like, the Aaron Rodgers saga didn't exist, like, this would be a very simple conversation. Like, Aaron Rodgers is obviously QB1, and the gap is quite large, right? Like, and I guess we don't really know. We don't know what's going on with Jordan Love, but yeah. Even if Jordan Love is good, the gap will still be large between, like, a quarterback that's still developing and a Hall of Fame quarterback. Like, let's just be honest about that. So, in my mind, in a perfect world, if Aaron Rodgers and the Packers work things out, obviously Aaron Rodgers is QB1. And then I think that 2 slot is kind of up for grabs. Like, some people might think it's going to Jordan Love, but the Packers might play it a little safe and say, like, well, we have a quarterback with experience in Blake Bortles, so he's going to be the backup at least to start the season. You know, we're going to finally see Jordan Love get some reps in preseason, so that might change during that. The Packers traditionally go the safe route. So I'm going to say Aaron Rodgers would be QB1, Bortles would be QB2, Love would be 3 with potential to move up into that 2 slot, and then good old Kurt would be number 4. I really like him, though, but, you know, he's not going to be the guy.
Yeah. Steve? Thoughts on the QB room?
I mean, I'm very, very disappointed that Sarah doesn't think Kirk's going to be number 1 quarterback. Like, clearly with the hair, that's that's exactly who you want to be number 1. But no, he's number 1 on the practice squad for sure. And yeah, I think we all are in agreement. Like, if Aaron Rodgers is back on the team, then yeah, he's number 1. It's not really a discussion. And yeah, where the discussion lies is QB2, QB3, and I'm on the same page as Sarah. Like, I think that Blake Bortles would start as 2, and if Jordan Love can prove it during the preseason and OTAs and practices, then yeah, he can move up to 2. But I don't think you want to give that to him. I think you want to give him something to earn, because he's not going after QB1 right away. Give him something to work for, something to, you know, I can beat out Blake Bortles, which really
good job.
Hope that he can do. I really hope that he can do that. Knock on wood. That would be outstanding. But yeah, I want to give Jordan Love a little task to do for the preseason. And if you can get that, then you can earn QB2. And that's a really good thing. So that's where I'm standing. I think, but I do love the fact that Blake Bortles is on the Packers team, and I love all the gifts and Jake Jordles and the Good Place and like Molotov cocktails. Like, it just makes my heart happy. So as I discussed with you guys beforehand, I'm watching the Good Place over again so I can get all the Blake Bortles jokes. And yeah, get ready for that, especially if he's a QB2 to start out the season.
Steve doing some deep dive research. I really, really like that. I'm of the mind that Love is QB2. Like, if this shakes out, which who knows how this is and who knows how good Jordan Love is at this point, I'm of the mind that Love has made enough progress, he will likely be QB2, just because that's the way I feel. But I don't really care either way. We're going to move on to running back. Running back, interesting group. You know, we know we got Jones and Dylan at the top there. We also got Dexter Williams, Mike Weber, Patrick Taylor, and the rookie Kylan Hill. I'm a big, big fan of Hill. My thought on this is that it'll be Jones, Dylan, and likely Hill at RB3. I think Patrick Taylor is likely the next guy. Dexter Williams, I feel, is probably gone. It's 90 Man. Who cares about 90 Man? I don't think he's going to be around too much longer. But I really, really like, I think the Jones, Dillon, and then Hill, based on what Hill has shown, I think is a really good kind of three-man running back group there. But, like, really, really intriguing group there. You can do a lot of really fun stuff with them. Steve, where do you sit on the running back group?
I'm pretty much right there with you. Like, I think the diversity of what those three guys can bring, they're not doing all the same thing. And especially, you know, Jones and A.J. Dillon, man, like that combo 1-2 is just outstanding because, you know, everybody talks about, you know, thunder and lightning is what it was back in the New York Giants day and stuff like that. But I mean, A.J. Dillon, I mean, he's thunder, but he's also lightning. Yeah. Like, he is fast man for being that big. So you've got like lightning and lightning, but you've also got like a big fat lightning. So I'm super excited about the running back group. And I mean, adding Hill to that group, I think he's a really dynamic running back. And, you know, sprinkle him in here and there is that scat back, that guy that can kind of make people miss. And you got three quality running backs and a couple of guys that, you know, throw one or two on the practice squad and see if anybody gets injured, if somebody else can hit. So I think they've got a really, really deep group, which is a good thing at running back, and a cheap group as well outside of Aaron Jones. So,
yeah. Sarah, what do you say?
I mean, I don't know what else I could say. You guys really touched on everything. And I mean, it's super exciting that Aaron Jones is back. I know 6 months ago when we were talking about that, it seemed like it was impossible. So it's really exciting, and I know he's really excited to be a Packer too. So I think a lot of good stuff is in the future for that group.
Yeah, for sure. All right, move on to wide receivers. Currently 11 wide receivers, 2 rookies, 9 vets, and this is, again, 90 man, a lot of changes. But we got at the top, we got Devontae, MVS, Lazard, Equanimeous St. Brown, Devin Funchess, Malik Taylor, Reggie Begelton, Juwan Winfrey, Chris Blair, and then the rookies, Amari Rodgers and Bailey Gaither. I mean, so this one, you know, I assume, you know, Adams, MVS, Lazard, likely a lock. Amari Rodgers is a lock. I think there's a lot of room for stuff to move past that. I think there's that 4. I mean, but I think you go a lot of different ways with this. Sarah, where do you feel with the wide receiver as far as, like, how do they look at the top? And then as far as depth, how do you like some of those kind of guys, like, past 4, I guess?
I don't really know how much I like them, to be honest with you. Like, this has always been the question mark for the Packers, right? Like, they have these players, and they're, you know, a handful of them are good, and then the rest's like, who are these guys? And then all of a sudden they start catching touchdown passes and things like that. So as far as like who we know and what we've seen, yeah, I mean, Devontae is 100% a lock for one. Then I think, you know, MBS and Lazard follow. And with Amari Rodgers, I'm not sure, like, obviously he's a wide receiver, but he's not really super comparable to those three guys. Like, they're going to use him in a lot of different ways. So I guess, you know, you could put him as the four slot, but really he's kind of interchangeable with the other guys too, just depending on what the play is in the situation and how they're going to do that. From there, I mean, we talked about it a couple weeks ago. I'm kind of interested to see, like, with Funchess, like, what happens there, if he's in shape and ready to go. I mean, if he's the kind of guy that they're going to throw it up and he's going to go get it. You know, he's not like a super speedy route runner, and he's not going to be a deep threat like MBS is. So, I mean, he might be beneficial in red zone situations, but we'll just kind of have to see. I think, you know, like you said, those 4 are a lock, and everything else from there is really a toss up in my mind.
Yeah, Steve, how you feeling about him?
I don't understand. Like, Aaron Rodgers doesn't have any weapons. It's just like nothing. He's got nothing, man. Like, I don't understand why everybody's talking about this, because they weren't drafted in the first round. So.
Yeah.
No, it's a good group. Like, it's a very solid group. There's no outside of Devontae, there's nothing flashy, but when you have Aaron Rodgers at quarterback, that's a, like, he makes those guys better. And with Lazard, and especially with Amari Rodgers, like, you get an upgraded version of Tyler Irvin, who's a wide receiver that can fit into the running back role a little bit, which, yeah, I mean, that just enhances what they can do. So I really think that's a huge upgrade that, as much as people are talking about it, maybe they're not talking about it enough, that I really think that's a good thing. What's the name of the undrafted wide receiver?
Bailey Gaither.
Gaither, yeah. That's somebody I'm intrigued to see. Like, he is a speedy white dude. And, you know, Jim Rat, I'm sure, is what he was talked about. And
Coach Hassan, first guy exactly, in, last guy out.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. Yeah, he's always there, always there. But, I mean, he's somebody, if you watch a little bit of his YouTube stuff, that's just a quick dude. And they've got Amari Rodgers that'll be able to do that. But, I mean, I feel like there's always, you know, a couple guys undrafted that hit with the Packers. And, I mean, you don't want to throw out Wes Welker kind of stuff because, like, that's way – like, you're throwing out Hall of Fame comparisons.
Yeah.
But, like, it's one of those things that it's just that comparison of the small white wide receiver that you see, like, can operate out of the slot, can do a lot of the things and just make plays. And he's a kid who made plays. And so I'm excited to see what – given the opportunity in the NFL, what he can do. I do believe Devin Funchess. I can't see him making the team. I don't know why. Like, I'd love it. I think it'd be a great story, but I feel like they're established enough at all those positions that unless somebody gets injured, he's not going to make the cut, and they'll give somebody else a shot at it. So
yeah.
I like their depth. I like what they've got there, and hopefully Amari Rodgers can be the guy that develops for the Packers.
Yeah, and I think what I like most about it is the diversity that they have, the different skill sets they have, and you can see how they all kind of fit together. It's not a whole lot of redundant skill sets. You do have, especially among those top four, each have their thing that they do really, really well that kind of keeps them out there, that allows them to do different things with them on the field. So I really like that. Tight end group, man, I feel like a year or two ago we were talking about tight end group. I don't know how that's going to look. It's a decent looking tight end group, man.
Yep.
Mercedes, there's seven of them right now. Mercedes Lewis, Robert Tonyan, Jay Sternberger, Josiah DeGuaro, Dominique Daphne, Isaac Nauta, Bronson Kafusi. So I kind of assume four probably going to end up making it. I think it's probably going to be those top four. But I mean, I think it's a really solid. I mean, you know, Lewis is kind of the old hat, the guy that kind of teaches everyone. Tonyan had his breakout year. I don't know if that's going to continue. Sternberger had that concussion last year. But they kind of hoped for breakout him and DeGuara looked really good. And then, you know, he blocked those two Vikings at the same time. That's the thing I always go back to. It was just incredible. And then he got hurt and Daphne looked good when he came in too. So it's kind of it's a intriguing group, couple kind of halfback, hybrid guys looking there. But overall, I think intriguing and definitely an upgrade from where we were 2 years ago. Steve, where are you sitting on the tight end group?
I mean, I'm really excited, especially if Sternberger's back healthy, doing everything he needs to do, man. I mean, we all know LaFleur's offense, it favors tight ends. Like, it throws them into some really positive positions. And, like, you see guys just being wide open. And if Jay Sternberger doesn't drop a couple of balls, he's running for touchdowns.
Yeah.
And so I think, you know, fully healthy him and DeGuara getting back and running, like, that H-back role and getting into the open field. Like, he was doing good stuff. Yeah. And, I mean – You were super jacked about it after week one. I remember that Vikings game. You're like, dude, he's doing all this stuff. This is so awesome. So, I mean, if he can stay healthy for the year, man, that's an outstanding group. And again, like you said, nobody better to learn from than Mercedes Lewis.
Yeah. Sarah, what do you say on that group?
I'm so stoked about this group just because I honestly think, and I don't know if it's just because of all the drama with Aaron Rodgers, but we aren't talking about this position group enough. Like, this is arguably the strongest position group right now from, like, top to bottom for the Packers. Like, it's really exciting what's happening there. And, like, if Tonyan continues on the trajectory that he, like, started on last season, really, then, I mean, that's unbelievable. Mercedes Lewis is there, and he's still making plays, and he's such a great locker room guy, and he's able, like you guys said, to teach everyone. And then throw in DeGuara and Sternberger into that mix if they're both back and healthy. I mean, that's four solid guys that you have at that position that also do very different things. So your position, you know, is not, you not only have the depth, but you also have the versatility to do a lot. And, you know, with Matt LaFleur's offense and the schemes that they're running, that position is so, so key to what they're trying to accomplish. So I'm really excited about the tight end group.
Yeah, it was one of those with LaFleur, I think last year or 2 years ago, that was this, they're going to like to run a lot of two tight end sets, and like, who are they going to run those with? Like, they don't have the depth to do that. And now it's, they could keep I mean, they run four deep of, like, really, really good. They could run, like, platoon two tight end sets out there to keep guys healthy and run out some really fun stuff. So I'm with both of you guys. I like that tight end group. Just really, really exciting for what they can do. We'll go O-line. 16 guys. 16 guys currently.
Woo,
again, turnover and likely some injuries. We don't know where Bakhtiari is. But where that currently sits is Bakhtiari, Billy Turner, Elton Jenkins, Lucas Patrick, John Runyon, Simon Stepaniak, Ben Braden, Yosh Nijman, Zach Johnson, Jake Hansen, and then the rookies, Josh Myers, Royce Newman, Cole Van Lannen, Von Dietzen, my boy Coy Kronk, and Jacob Capra. I mean, some really intriguing names. There's so many unknowns here, I think. But, like, some really intriguing guys, some guys that were taken last year, you hope kind of take a jump a little bit. Sarah, where are you with the offensive line, both in terms of projected starters? Well, let's assume that Bakhtiari is healthy to start the year. But, like, as far as those top five plus depth, how do you feel about that group overall?
I mean, there's plenty of depth. Now, after the draft, I mean, it felt like every pick at times, it was like, oh, another lineman. Like, okay, but it was needed, right? Like, they needed to rebuild there and everything. And I think the line will be, once again, you know, especially if Bakhtiari is back right at the start of the season or a couple weeks in, they'll be one of the top offensive lines, again, in the league. They have all the tools. They have the right guys in the mix. And you know, again, I'm not trying to repeat myself over and over again, but they're also versatile. Like, they can move guys around. Some guys can play on the edge. Some can, you know, can play center. And it's just a lot of good stuff on the line there. And I just am looking forward to them again. Like, I don't really know what more I can say. Like, I just think they're going to be one of the top groups again in the league this year.
Steve, where are you at?
I'm not going to lie. I'm a little worried. Tackle wise, if Bakhtiari isn't ready to go, that means I'm a little worried. I fingers crossed he'll be ready to go season starts, but I mean, that'll be like season beginning. That'll be like right around 9 months of him being back from his ACL. And yeah, I mean, that could be he's ready to go, but man, that's a tough order for you to get back from the ACL and be ready, like fully ready to go in NFL body for the NFL season, like after that injury. And so that's kind of where I'm worried, because I don't want Yosh Nijman being my left tackle. I don't want Billy Turner to be my left tackle. I'm way more comfortable right guard, right tackle for him. And like, I don't want John Runyon to be my left tackle. So there's a lot to be worried about if Bakhtiari isn't ready to go. Now, on the other hand, if he is ready to go and you have him, you've got Jenkins, you've got Josh Myers ready to go at center, you've got Billy Turner at right guard, you've got a great group. You've got a great group. And then if one or two of these kids that from the last year like hit, and you know, maybe a rookie that you drafted this year is also doing well, like all of a sudden you're doing really well. They've got a lot of depth. And the one thing that the Packers always do is grab people that can be versatile. And they can play guard, they can play tackle, sometimes they can play center. Who the hell knows what like all of a sudden you're like, hey, Lucas Patrick, you're playing center. Oh no, tomorrow you're playing right tackle. Like, cool, this is and they don't miss a beat. They don't miss a beat, and they just step in and they're like, yep, oh, no sacks allowed. Aaron Rodgers, he's got a clean jersey today. Like, you know, like everybody was worried about it before the game happened, and then all of a sudden he's fine. So it will be very interesting. I think if Bakhtiari is back and ready to go week one, they're good. But until that happens, I'm very intrigued to see how it all goes down.
Yeah, I think I'm with you. There's a lot of unknowns, and even if Bakhtiari's back, there's a lot of young guys you hope can do stuff. I definitely felt better after the draft. Before the draft, it was I think I'm perfectly fine with Lucas Patrick. And we talked about Elton Jenkins before. I think I'd like to keep him at his natural position at left guard if possible. It's like, I don't know how comfortable I feel with Lucas Patrick as your day one starting center, and he is the presumed starter like for the season. I'm fine with Lucas Patrick. He's not a starting center for all 16 games. Like, he's just not. So I think the selection of Josh Myers helped calm me a little there. But yeah, I mean, there's a lot of unknowns. I mean, even someone like like Runyon, who looked good in spot duty last year. Is he a starter? Like, we don't know. So it could be. There are some wild swings there. But I think overall, solid group with a lot of guys who have shown flashes and quite a bit of promise there as well. So I like it, but it could easily crash and burn. But I feel really good about the group as a whole. We're going to move to the defensive side. Defensive side of the ball, defensive line. This is a group I think we all talked about as far as, like, just did not feel great about this. It was Kenny Clark and then guys, just dudes just scattered about. So they currently have 9 on the roster. Kenny Clark, Dean Lowry, Tyler Lancaster, Kingsley Keke, Willington Prevalon, Anthony Rush, Delonte Scott, and then your rookies, TJ Slayton and Jack Heflin. Sarah, where do you sit with the defensive line group?
I don't know. I still worry.
Correct.
like you said, you were like, you know, last year it was Kenny Clark and a bunch of other guys. And I'm like, is it not still kind of that mm-hmm. now? Like, I'm still a little worried about what's happening there. I know they picked up some guys in the draft, and I think there's potential, but we don't know. Like, that's one of those things where it's a draft pick, so the Packers are taking a chance on someone. So we'll see. I'm nervous, though. I'll admit it. I'm nervous. So.
Steve, are you more nervous or the same amount of nervous as Sarah?
Oh, I'm more nervous because you are a Kenny Clark injury away from being like, oh, what the hell is going on here? Like, like, we got not like, oh, yeah, we'll throw Preston Smith inside. We'll throw Za'Darius inside. We'll throw, like, anybody that we can do because we don't want to put the other guys there. So it's... Yeah, I mean, you got Kenny Clark, amazing. You've got the other guys who are. It's like Kenny Clark and the unmentionables. That's pretty much sure. What their band name would be, because you don't want to talk about the other guys. So, I'm hoping that there'll be a couple of the rookies. There's one guy I'm looking for in particular, and we'll talk a little bit of that in the future about who could maybe do a couple of things. But outside of that, man, like, Kenny Clark's the man. I wish they would have done some more to get him some help.
Yeah, and I mean, some of it, and yeah, we won't touch on some of this because we are going to talk about them a little later. But you look at, I mean, even like the knowns, like of the main group there, Kingsley Keke is like, and I know that, like, I think he had a concussion in the playoffs, and there's a story that came out. It was pretty bad, apparently. I think he still has some after effects of that. But he's a guy you hope, like, this is the year. He was kind of a project. You're hoping maybe this is the dude. The rest of those main guys, it's Kenny Clark, and then it's Dean Lowry and Tyler Lancaster. And we know exactly who those guys are. And if Barry brings over, you know, the defense he was running with the Rams last year, I don't see how Lowry fits into this at all. But he also kind of has to, because what else are they going to do with this? So I think of all of the groups, I think this is the one I'm most uneasy about. Like, there's other ones I'm a little more questionable on that I'm kind of like, well, I could go either way on that. This is the one that worries me the most because it's harder to find a path forward with this group as far as, like, them being great. You just hope that they're fine. You hope that most of those guys find their way to fine. But maybe we get surprised. I hope we're surprised. We're going to go to Edge. Move to Edge. Currently 7 guys in that area. So the outside linebacker group, Za'Darius Smith, Preston Smith, Rashawn Gary, Randy Ramsey, Jonathan Garvin, Tipa Galea, I'm probably saying that wrong, and Carlo Kemp. Steve, where are you with Edge?
Dude, I'm digging it. Like, I'm a little shocked that Preston Smith is back, but yeah. Za'Darius, I mean, you guys all know how all in I've been on Rashawn Gary since he was drafted. Like, that's been, like, I knew, like, I was really, really hoping that he would hit, and he did. And I'm really excited because I feel like he's going to take that leap where it's going to be Za'Darius and Rashawn Gary as opposed to Za'Darius and Preston. And Preston's going to figure out, like, they'll figure out ways to use him. They'll do it effectively. But when you get all three of those guys, like, rushing at the same time and throw Kenny Clark, maybe that helps out with the whole, we don't have anybody else to throw next to Kenny Clark, where it's like, hey, we've got Rashawn on one side, Preston on one side, Kenny and Za'Darius. Like, that may be what they're going to do with the four. And that would make sense to me. And a couple of guys that are like lottery tickets where you don't know if they'll hit, but, like, you know, typically I know like he showed some flashes in the preseason before, and some showed some really good tape and stuff like that, where people were excited about him and hoping that he would come up and do some things. And yeah, I mean, it's an exciting group. So if the corners can do some things and hold down some people for a little while, and all of a sudden you give a little time to those guys, like, yeah, that it's an exciting time for the edge rushers for the Packers.
Sarah, where are you at with the edge group?
Yeah, I pretty much agree with Steve. I think there's enough there that they can supplement other areas of the defense and be really great. So, I mean, Za'Darius Smith will be a key piece. Rashawn Gary, I mean, he is just trending in the right direction, it seems like, more and more every single day. And then, you know, Preston Smith, last year we got glimpses of him at times. You know, he looked pretty good. At other times, we're like, what the hell is going on? So if we can have more of the good this year, and you know, if we see more of that, and then you mix it together with the consistency of Za'Darius Smith and the continuous improvement of Rashawn Gary, I think it could really work out.
Yeah, I'm really excited for the defensive package that's just Za'Darius Smith trying to scare the hell out of the center pre-snap. We just kind of, he's mugging over him and just trying to get in his head, because then that, you know, that covers some of your sins there on the defensive line. I think of those guys, I think the name that is intriguing is Garvin, their late round pick from last year. He's a guy that did, you know, put some good things on tape at Miami, and then you heard some good things coming out of last year, kind of more of a project guy, but he's a guy that maybe could do something this year. Like, it seems like the skids are greased a little, maybe, for him to make an impact this year, which I think would be really exciting. Moving to the strongest group, the most exciting group, surely, is the inside linebacker group. There are currently seven guys in this group. It's a group I'm interested in just because, you know, based on Joe Barry's defense, there's a lot of times you're not going to have any more than one linebacker on the field. Inside linebacker, I guess. So I'm very curious to see which way they go with that, how much he kind of carries some of that stuff over. But we've got Chris Barnes, Kamal Martin, Oren Burks, Ty Summers, DeJohn Harris, Ray Wilburn, and the rookie Isaiah McDuffie. I'm going to let Steve start this because this is his group here. Steve, where are you?
All I can think about is Jim Carrey from Liar Liar, where he's drinking a glass of water, spits it out, and goes, "Oh, come on!" Like, that is what I think about when I see that group for inside linebackers. Are you, like, honestly, are you freaking kidding me? How has it been this long where they just, they look at the Packers front office, looks at everything that's going on in the NFL, like, hey, most of the teams have this super athletic middle linebacker that can go sideline to sideline. They can cover tight ends. They can do all these things. We don't need one of those. We'll supplement with like fifth, sixth, seventh round guys. It'll be fine. It'll be fine. Don't worry about it. And it just happens year and year and year and year over and over again. And I'm tired of it. I'm just tired of it. So cool. We're going to go with that again. And yeah, we'll just go with Sarah because I'm just going to keep spewing bad stuff. So
almost just left this group off of this entirely because I knew how this was going to go. But that was good.
I was shocked you went to me first.
I'm just going to let it
get out of the way.
I don't know if I can add anything else because I don't want Steve to get too upset. So
yeah, I don't know. There's some intriguing names there. I think Chris Barnes showed some solid things. I think Kamal Martin is a guy with a second year under his belt could potentially do some things. McDuffie is kind of a lunatic. If you watch him, seems like a special teamer, but I kind of like him. Yeah, it's not eye popping. I mean, defensive line kind of opens up some of that stuff, and with a bad defensive line, I don't know how much unless it's an elite linebacker, I don't know how much it helps you anyway. But I think of those guys, I think Kamal Martin. That was not a prompt for Notre Dame.
They could have got the end of the first round. No,
I don't think so. I really don't think so. No, I mean, I think of all those guys, I think Kamal Martin's the guy I'm most excited about for that second year, because just based on what he could do, I think he'd do some good stuff. We're going to forget that ever happened, and we're going to move on to cornerback. 10 guys currently in the group. Jair Alexander, Kevin King. Thank God Kevin King is back. We're all very excited about that. Channon Sullivan, Josh Jackson, Kadar Holman, Kevere Russell, Stanford Samuels, Kabion Ento, and the rookies, Eric Stokes, and Shamar Jean Charles. Sarah, we'll start with you. How do you feel about the cornerback group?
I'm feeling good. I'm feeling better than I was in years prior. I mean, obviously, Jarier is the best. Like, he just is awesome, and I'm so excited to watch him continue to just progress and really become such a key leader on this team. And then I think the Stokes pick is really exciting there. And, you know, having him and Jarier together could really potentially be something that's a shutdown for a lot of teams. I mean, having them on opposite sides of a lot, you know, looking at Stokes' tape, the thing was people just didn't throw at him. And that's often the case with Jarier Alexander as well. So if you have two guys on opposite sides and, you know, people don't like to throw to either of them, they're going to have to throw to somebody eventually. And so I think, you know, that's really good thing for the Packers. There's a little bit of depth there, you know, not as much, you know, I think as I would like. I know there's depth, but I'm not sure how I feel about depth is a better way to say it. But yeah, I think there's promise here. And I'm excited to see how it plays out, because if everything works out, if Stokes progresses really quickly and is able to come in and make an impact right away, then I think really good things, or at least better things, could happen. And Jarier won't be so alone out there all the time.
So sounded so sad. Steve, where do you sit with the cornerback group?
I'm excited. I think, the promise of Stokes, and the fact that, you know, everybody was so disappointed when Kevin King came back, and you sit there and you're like, well, okay, he had flashes. He played really well, and when he was healthy, he did play very well. Injured, yeah, not so much. That's understandable. But the fact that there are hopefully options besides him at cornerback two, I think that is a big deal. And like, you've got, if you can get Stokes playing at a high level, learning from Jair, and I mean, and having Gray as a DB's coach, like, that he's a really talented coach, and he's done really well with cornerbacks at the NFL level. Like, if he can get him going real quick, that's going to be huge, because all of a sudden you're looking at trying to figure out who's your slot guy, as opposed to, like, you've got locked down one and two. And I don't know. I feel like it's bringing Kevin King back at a $5 million rate, and having Stokes and having a couple other guys, like, what was the name of the fifth round guy?
Shamar Jean Charles.
Yes, him. So having him going potentially as a slot, like, alternative, like, you know, all these guys just pushing, like, you've got a lot more competition at the cornerback level this year than you've had in years past, especially when you've got, like, number one just, like, locked down. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden you've got competition everywhere else, and people are pushing each other. Like, that's a really good thing for the Packers. So I'm excited to see how it progresses, but you know what? I really like what the Packers did this year.
Yeah, and the King thing's interesting, because there was a lot of negative reaction to them, and understandably so. I get it. And to some extent, I do think they're bidding against themselves for the price, but at 1 year, $5 million, that was always kind of a, he's not coming back for another year. This was, they were likely going to grab someone in the draft, you know, first or second round. Clearly, they did the first round. First round cornerbacks generally do not come out of the gate just doing incredible things. So you have him sit for a little bit, you know, come play out in sub packages, learn a little bit, and then you step in full time second year or when King is injured. So yeah, I don't hate the arrangement at all. As you know, Stokes, I think, is going to have some work to do, and being able to not have to come out and be that number two right away, I think, is going to help him a lot. I think, you know, I Josh Jackson's intriguing, just because it hasn't shaken. I don't think it's going to. So I assume he's probably gone, or he's way far down the depth chart. I'm really excited about Shamar Jean Charles, like you said, Steve. That kind of that slot guy, like, really small and not super athletic. He didn't test all that great, but man, when you watch him, he's like very, very smart and just flies to the ball. I think he's going to be just a ton of fun. Of all the draft picks, he's one of the ones I'm most excited about, is Shamar Jean Charles, specifically in this defense. I think it's going to be a blast. So yeah, I'm with you. This is a big question mark, I think, coming into this year, and I feel much better about it than I did before. All right, we're not going to do the specialists, which means we're on the last group here, guys. So we're going to hit the safety room, one of the funner rooms, I think. I really, really like this group a lot. We've got Adrian Amos, Darnell Savage, I guess I like two guys in this group. Will Redmond, Henry Black, Vernon Scott, Innes Gaines, and the undrafted rookie Christian Uphoff. Steve, what do you think about the safety group?
I mean, I'm cool with the top two.
Yeah.
As long as no injuries happen, I think we're pretty good. But, yeah, I mean, you've got Amos, who's just a rock in the back, and Darnell Savage continues to grow in his role with the Packers defense. And hopefully Joe Barry is recognizing what he can do and puts him in good situations. But, I mean, that was just what solidified the defense, was like those two roaming around the back and, you know, running up front when needed to be. And I mean, Darnell Savage making plays, and like, no, I mean, as long as those guys don't get hurt, man, though, like, you just, that's not even a question mark. That's just like solid stamp of like, boom, we're good. Like, move on.
Mm-hmm. Sarah, what do you say?
Yeah, I mean, like Steve said, he took the words right out of my mouth. Like, I'm excited about the first two names on that list. And I just – Savage and Amos, like, they really – I don't want to say surprise me. Like, that isn't the right word. Like, I knew that they could be good. But they've really kind of surpassed the expectations even that I had for them the last couple of seasons. And just, you know, watching how that's shaked out has been awesome. And – I'm looking forward to watching it continue to grow, and, you know, maybe one of the other guys could might step up and surprise us as well and supplement some of the things that they're doing.
Yeah, and I think of the rest of the group, I think, you know, we know who Will Redmond is, which is not great. I think Vernon Scott did some good stuff, so I, you know, as kind of that third guy, and I do think we're going to see some, I'll say, some three safety stuff, and you probably have a cornerback back there in some of that role as well. But I think I wouldn't be shocked to see some Vernon Scott, and I wouldn't hate that. He showed some good stuff. I wouldn't hate seeing a little more of him, but it is very strong at the top, and the depth isn't great. Depth is not great. But yeah, that's our look at where the 90-man roster currently is. I think some good groups there and some battles to watch, I think. But I mean, overall, as far as a team, that top level talent, man. Boy, it sure would be nice to have Aaron Rodgers back, but they've got pieces at a lot of those areas. Like,
yeah, but
I think
the Packers aren't doing enough for him. So
they're not. Yeah, they're not. Yeah. I mean, you know,
that whole list of really
no weapon. There are no weapons on this team, Dusty.
Sarah. No weapons. Nothing. You know, if you discount, you know, one of the best wide receivers in the game, a really talented rookie, one of the fastest guys, a really strong forward tight end group, a good offensive line. Yeah, I mean, if you get rid of all of that. They don't. What do they have? You know, not
also,
much.
No running backs. They got nothing.
Yeah.
Either.
Yeah. No. I think for all of us, I think that defensive line is probably the biggest concern there. But yeah. Thanks for joining us. We're going to move to questions. We've got a handful of questions this week, so we're going to bang through some of these. Our first one here is from Matthew Meshnick. He says, and this is you know, on the back of what we just talked about here. Who of the new roster additions are you looking forward to watching in OTAs this week? And then he closes with, what's your go-to celebration gathering of old friends food? So I'm going to kick this off. The new roster additions, I talked about Shamar Jean Charles a little, but it should shock absolutely no one. Amari Rodgers is absolutely my number one. Just, I loved watching him in college. The role he's going to be in this offense is going to be great. Like, he got the number eight. His number eight jersey looks tremendous. They could have drafted him in the first round. I would have been thrilled. I love him. I love the energy he brings. I love the dimension he brings to this offense. I just think he's going to be a blast. And then the celebration gathering old friends food. I don't really have one, but I went out really with siblings and hung out for a couple hours at a brewery for the first time since the pandemic started. And we got some sandwiches from a local sandwich shop. That were just delicious, and then you know, just drank a lot of beer. So I don't know, a good sandwich, probably some nachos. Give me some nachos and some beer, and I'm happy as a clam. So that's mine. Sarah, who are you most looking forward to seeing, and your gathering food?
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to copy you, but I totally think for me it's Amari Rodgers as well. Like, I'm just really excited about the possibilities there and what could happen. And then. My go-to celebration / gathering of old friends food. Well, I'm a big fan of, like, and I've been starting to do this again now since things are, you know, starting to open up and vaccines are a lot more available. So my friends and I are big, like, game people. Like, we love playing board games and card games. So we've been starting to get back together to do that. And it's always fun to, like, just do that and then order like really good like local pizza, not like any of a chain, like any chain like Papa John's or Pizza Hut or Little Caesars, whatever. I mean, those are fine, but like just the good like mom and pop pizza from the small business down the street like hits different. So that's going to be my answer. I just love kind of hanging out, playing games, and then ordering some pizza.
Solid, Steve. Who are you excited about?
I am excited to watch TJ Slayton, defensive tackle. I want to see what Kenny Clark can teach this dude because, you know, coming from Florida, like from what I understand, what I've read about him, he's, you know, unexperienced, which is why he goes in the fifth round. You know, doesn't have a lot of reps, but man, if you're going to learn from somebody, that's who I want you to learn from. I want you to learn from Kenny Clark, and for being such a huge guy, I'm excited. Like, I think that if Kenny Clark and the, you know, defensive line coaches can teach that guy up, like that's going to be somebody who could really, really affect. If you've all of a sudden got two outstanding defensive tackles, and then, you know, you guys got the guys on the edge, a couple linebackers, you know, that whatever. But, like, that is what can make that defense go. You got a couple just stout defensive tackles. That's what I'm really excited to see. And then as far as food goes for gathering of friends, man, Dusty, you hit me. You stole one. I was gonna say nachos. To me, that's always one. And then the other one's chicken wings. Like if you're getting all your friends together, like big thing of nachos or a big thing of chicken wings, like that's always good to go. So that would be my answer.
Solid answers. All right, we're gonna move on to this is from at Just the Packers. Justin from Kentucky. Hi, I'm Dusty from Kentucky. How are you? He says, I love this draft class, but I'm all in on TJ Slayton. Hey, that's your guy, Steve. How big of a role do you think he'll play this year? So, Steve, since you just talked about him, how big of a role do you think he'll play this year?
I mean, fingers crossed, by about week 8, I hope he's in there about like 40, 50% of the time. I don't like, he's not going to be the immediate starter. He's not going to come in and just blow people out of the water. I don't think. I think he needs some time. It's a fifth round draft pick for a reason. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, fingers crossed that he learns from everything and he'll get going. But if he is the guy that you've seen in the highlights and he learns from everybody, like there's some legit potential there. And I think, yeah, I mean, I think 30, 40% maybe by the end of the year would be good.
Okay. Sarah, where are you on Slayton?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. I think all of these guys, and especially some of the later round picks, like the level that they progress at varies, you know, so much. And so if he learns quickly and he's able, you know, to catch on and he fits in well with what they're trying to do, then, you know, yeah, I agree with Steve. I think we might see him like 40% of the time. But if they're like, no, he's not ready, he needs a lot more work, then I'm not sure how much, you know, we'll really see him, if at all. So it might be something that we have to wait to see until, you know, year 2. But I'm hoping it's the first option there, because if we can have at least, you know, a little bit more of an impact for the Packers on that side of the ball, then so be it. I'm all for it.
Yeah, and I think you guys hit on a lot of that kind of fifth round pick. You're likely not looking to him to make a big impact right away. He has shown enough stuff. I watched, you know, a lot of Florida football living where I live, and I kind of follow the Gators pretty closely anyway. And Andy Herman actually just wrote a piece about him over at Packer Report and was posting a bunch of clips on Twitter about him. He's a guy, he's shown flashes, and his flashes are super, super impressive, but he's a guy that, like, you know, a couple times in a game, he really jump out and, oh my goodness, like, just look at that move. And then you just won't see him for very long stretches of time. So if he can get a little more consistent, I think this first year, I think, yeah, someone like Steve, I think limited role. I think a big body in this defense is going to do, like, just as a disruptor / hold those blocks is going to be huge. And I think he can be that. I think probably a run stuffing guy more or less, but he does have the ability to kind of rush the passer. We just haven't seen a ton of that, and not consistently. So if he can get, like you said, Steve, if he can learn from Clark, get a little more consistency, that would be absolutely huge. I don't know how much that's happening in year 1. He does seem kind of, he'll be in occasionally, but man, the highs look real, real nice out of Slayton. All right, move on to Benjamin Laplume. Hard to improve on such a great offensive season last year. If you could point out one thing you would like the offense to get better at, what would that one thing be? I think Steve is taking this question all by himself.
I would like them to score more points in the NFC Championship game.
It's really good analysis is what it is. I appreciate that, Steve.
It's what I do. All
right, moving on. We'll go to Sparktacular. We got a Rodgers question. We had to fit a Rodgers question here. Since Bortles is friendly with Rodgers, was he brought in partly as a buffer between Aaron and Jordan in the 2021 quarterback room and partly as more of a hands-on mentor for Love to question? Seems like he'll be the QB3. I know everyone has thoughts on that. In a Rodgers-led depth chart and a number 2 and a Love-led one. Sarah, where are you sitting on the addition of Bortles?
I mean, we talked about it a little bit before. I think, you know, the Packers might play it safe and, you know, put him in that number 2 slot. But if Jordan Love proves himself, then he could jump to 2 and Bortles could fall to 3. I really think, you know, Bortles is not the guy in Green Bay, regardless if Aaron Rodgers is the quarterback or not. I think he's just there to bring competition to the team. He obviously has a lot of knowledge, a good relationship with Hackett. And, you know, what he does. So I think he's really just going to be a great leader and, like, support system for, you know, younger player like Jordan Love. And that's really all it is. Like, people were looking into this pick so much, and, it, you know, it's not that deep. It's just this is a veteran guy. He's going to come in, you know, guide people where he can, play if he needs to, and I don't think it's much more than that.
Steve, where you sit on the whole Bortles thing?
I mean, I feel like it's changing, like, throughout my mind process. But honestly, I don't think he was brought in because he's a buffer between the two of them. I don't think he was brought in because he, you know, has some sort of relationship with Rodgers or Jordan Love or anything like that. Like, I don't think those factors played at all. I think the factor was the Packers looked at their quarterback room and go, oh, hey, we got 2 quarterbacks. Maybe we should bring somebody in that has starting experience, especially with the fact of everything that's going on with Aaron. So they went out and looked at the market and found somebody that fit their price point and had that starting ability. And then they brought in another guy on that level that's most likely going to be on the practice squad. But I don't believe that it was motivated by relationships or anything like that. I think the Packers are trying to do what they believe is in their best interest. And fingers crossed, Blake Bortles won't be on the Packers roster when the 2021 season begins. And, I mean, the Packers are pretty synonymous, especially with Aaron Rodgers being on the roster, with having 2 quarterbacks and dressing 2. So that would be Aaron Rodgers and Jordan Love. So that would be what my thought process is. But it's a quarterback room for the Packers, so who the hell knows?
Yeah, I love the idea that a one-year, $1 million deal for Blake Bortles is like, just brings out all of the wild conspiracy theories. Well, what does this mean for Rodgers? It's a one-year, $1 million deal for Blake Bortles.
Nothing.
Yeah, it's nothing. Yeah, I'm on board with all that. I mean, it's basically, yeah, he knows the offense. He played with Hackett. It's a one-year, $1 million deal. And if he sticks around, I assume QB3, and talk to Love a little bit on the sideline about some of the specifics of that play or something, kind of guide him through some of that stuff. That's all I really see it as. It's not really much of anything. Good for jokes. Real good for jokes, which I really appreciate.
But yep.
Last question from our good friend, Sean Franken. Yeah. You know what I love about a lot of these questions is they're just, people have gotten to know us, and so they're just very specific to us, which I really, really appreciate. So from Sean, we know an Endgame, Ant-Man, Cap, and Black Widow went to Tony Stark's house to ask him to help the team. Which 3 teammates of Aaron Rodgers, past or present, should make the trip to convince him to come back? We're all Marvel people here, big fans of the MCU. Sarah, probably chief among us. So, Sarah, we're going to kick this off with you. Which of Aaron Rodgers' past or present teammates do they send to try to get him to come back?
So first of all, this is a fantastic question. Love this. Love how it's tying both our love for Marvel and the Packers together. So kudos to you, Sean. I had to think about this one for a little bit, but my answer, and I'll say my answer first and then I'll explain why. So my answer would be Davante Adams, James Jones, and David Bakhtiari. So that those would be my three. I think, you know, yes, Jones was cut, whatever you want to say, but he talks very highly of the Packers. He still has a good relationship with Rodgers. So I think, you know, he could talk. He's already talked about this situation a lot and how he feels about it, what he thinks is going to happen. I think he could kind of be the middle guy that's like a voice of reason, like, hey, you know, these, what are your alternatives? And, you know, I'm kind of picturing the conversation with James Jones, like going like very similarly to how when I was trying to pick a college and I like had a list of like pros and cons and I like sat down with my parents and they're like, so you could go here and you get all this, but if you went here, you could get all this. So that's kind of how I imagine that conversation going. I just feel like he's very level-headed and could just give him the straight facts and say, these are your options, let's talk through them. Davante Adams, and I actually like, so I think it could be Davante Adams or Jordy Nelson. So we'll just sort of throw that out there. But both of them seem to have...
Wrong.
Whatever. So both of them, this is my answer, not yours. So... Both of them seem to have a good relationship with Rodgers in the sense that they understand each other, they respect each other, and they also, you know, I think they elevate each other's performance as well. So, you know, Rodgers and Jordy had that connection. Now Rodgers and Davante have that connection. And it's hard to form a connection with a player like that. So, you know, if I'm Davante Adams, I'm saying like, hey man, like you're not going to find another me on another team. So, you're going to want to stay here because you're going to want to play. And then if I'm Jordy Nelson, I'm going to kind of be like, hey, remember what we had and how it was rare? Like, now you have it with Davante. Like, might be hard to find that a third time. So that's kind of what I'm thinking there. And then with David Bakhtiari, like, they're obviously super good friends off the field. I think they have a really good relationship on and off the field. So that could be someone that he's like, I'm here for you, dude. Like, I, you know, you should come back. Like, what about all the memories we had? He could make a joke, you know, you can finally have me in a commercial with you. Like we can do this together. So, and then in addition to that, like he could have the same argument as Davante Adams. Like, you're not going to find another me on the team. Like, I'm the best, you know, at my position in the league. And like, I'm going to protect you. And I have protected you. Like you want to be where I am. So, you know, come and stay in Green Bay. So those are my three and a half, I guess you could say. And honorable mention apparently is Jake Kumerow, because Rodgers was really upset about that.
do you think that Bakhtiari would let him beat him in a beer chugging competition to bring him back?
Absolutely. 100%.
That'd be like the most obvious, like throwing a game ever. I'd be really excited. Oh, I can't finish it. Oh,
like, oh yeah.
Sorry, Aaron. Oh no.
Bakhtiari sitting there is like, are you done yet, bro? Are you done yet? Okay, still, now I can finish.
Still beats him by accident. Steve, who's your three man army? Who are you sending?
All right. So we did have some fun with this. Sarah and I both crossed with James Jones. I think. He's been fully on board with like the fact that the Packers definitely need to be back with Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers needs to be back with the Packers. So I think that'd be interesting. Charles Woodson would be my number two. I think like you sent Charles Woodson, he's like, dude, what are you doing? All of a sudden Aaron Rodgers goes, you're right. I'm sorry.
You're right.
I don't know what I was thinking, Charles. I don't know what I was thinking, Charles Woodson. You're right. I should be back with the Packers. Like it'd just be that simple. But number three would be Jason Wilde, because he was technically a teammate with Aaron Rodgers, because at Good Karma Brands, they refer to everybody as teammates. And so Aaron Rodgers did a show with Wilde for 4 years, and they were technically teammates because they were, you know, Rodgers were getting paid for that show. So... I mean, if we all know Wilde loves Rodgers, Rodgers loves Wilde. Like he would get that. He would solidify that relationship, bring it all back together, get him to sign the extension. Like it would all work out well. So I think that would be my three.
It's a solid team. So my three, and I cheat a little because one of them's a coach, but it's the only obvious answer. It's JaMychal Finley, Greg Jennings, Mike McCarthy. I mean, that's I don't even know why you guys answered it.
Like, I put a reporter in, all of a sudden I was like, oh God, oh no.
I don't know why you guys, I can't believe those guys weren't taken already.
You might as well throw Florio in there too. Like,
yeah, I only had room for three, so it kind of sucks. Yeah, my three, Devontae Adams, Randall Cobb, AJ Hawk. They all seem like buddies. I've got a current guy. I've got Devontae Adams. He seems like very, very good friends with Rodgers. Randall Cobb, I can't remember if Rodgers was in his wedding. He definitely went to his wedding. Very good friends. They still do derby and stuff every year. So you've got a current receiver. You got a former receiver, good friend, and Cobb seemed to enjoy his time in Green Bay. I think it'd be one of those, like, listen, man, you know how hard it is out here. These teams are garbage. You see what I've been doing the past 2 years?
I played for the Texans.
You see, for the love of God, I signed with the Texans. They've signed 80 people this offseason. So I think you've got that. So you've got the guy that's still in the league that had played with him and has kind of seen the other side. And then you've got AJ Hawk. AJ Hawk, very good friend, defensive side. Rodgers still has a very good relationship with him. I think those three guys could kind of I think more of a bro session, I guess. Is that a term? A bro session? With those guys, as far as like I don't know if you know how good you have it. And I think they could talk some sense in a little bit. So I think I feel good. I think all of these answers are good. I like all of those groups. Yeah, Sean, as always, thanks for the question. Tremendous question. Tremendous question. We loved it. All right, guys.
Still not going to try peanut butter and pickles.
No, listen. Sean has his ups and downs. This was a very good week for a question. That peanut butter pickle thing.
That's two in a row. Two in a row.
That was, yeah, two in a row. Yeah, yeah. No, we're not trying that sandwich, Sean, but thank you for your question today. All right, that's it for the show. Thank you for listening. We're going to close it out. Steve, got some final thoughts for us?
You know, I honestly am pretty good. I'm just happy that we're back. I'm happy that we're recording and talking about Packers every single week now for oh man, like 45 weeks straight now until the next draft session goes in. So it's gonna be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to it, and honestly, I'm just looking forward to this whole Rodgers saga to be done with. Like, I just want an answer. I want it all to be done. But outside of that, just, you know, enjoy yourselves, enjoy your families, you know, get out in the nice warm weather now and have some fun. So we'll talk to you guys next week.
Sarah, final thoughts?
Yeah, I don't really have much. I'm so glad that we're back. Like, it's just so nice, you know, when I'm working on a Tuesday, you know, because we record on Tuesday nights, it's like, oh, I'm stressed, but we have the podcast tonight. So at least, like, I'll, you know, have fun doing that, and it's always a great time catching up. But I guess I have a final request, really, from everyone listening, and that's I've officially hit the point where in the last year and a couple months, I've watched everything, and now I'm like, wait, I'm in this about 1 month waiting period before a lot of, like, season two or, you know, more seasons are coming out for shows that I started watching in quarantine last year. So if you have any show suggestions, let me know, because last night, for the first time in like over a year, I was like scrolling through like Netflix and Hulu and everything, and I was like, I've watched all of the things I wanted to watch. So if you have a good show or movie suggestion, let me know. I'm open to them, because which is very scary. I'm starting to run out. So.
I'm leaning in. Have you done on Netflix F is for Family or Big Mouth?
I've watched Big Mouth.
F is for Family. Do it.
Okay. Thank you.
And mine that I'm throwing into the mix, if you have Apple TV, if you watch Mythic Quest, big Mythic Quest guy. Mythic Quest it's Mac from Always Sunny in Philadelphia, and it just started the second season. So you got a full season, I think, of 11 episodes, and they're two episodes into season two right now. And he has started it's like an RPG video game company. And so it's Mac. It's Abed from Community. It's Rickety Crickets from Always Sunny. Really, really great cast. Really funny show. I think it took a couple episodes to kind of get into it a little bit, but that first season is tremendous. So if you've not watched Mythic Quest, that is going to be my suggestion to you. My final thought, I've got today coming on Cheesehead TV. I'm covering, I went back and looked at two plays from the 96 NFC Championship game, the Levens touchdown, which is like one of my all-time favorite catches that he kind of goes and high points it and jams his heel inbounds in the second quarter, I guess, to kind of, I think, tie the game up at that point. Really, really fun concept. And that was kind of the drive that kind of kickstarted them. And then the Freeman touchdown late in the first half as well. So kind of getting to some of the, got some quotes in that game from Kevin Green and Mark Carrier from the other side. And then some stuff from Levens and Freeman and kind of talk about those plays themselves. So that'll be up on Cheesehead TV at 4:00 today. That's awesome. Very excited about that. I hope everyone likes it. And yeah, guys, as always, thank you for listening. Follow all of us on Twitter at Dusty Evely, at Sarah Keller 04, at Steve Perhatch, and the podcast at Peck a Day Podcast. Remember to rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast on your podcasting platform. 5-star reviews, please. As many 5-star reviews as you can give us, just give us those because we're great and you should give us those 5-star reviews. So guys, thanks again for listening. More great content tomorrow, and we'll see you all next week. And as always, go Pack, go.